Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The discovery of zebra mussels in a second Missouri River reservoir prompted Governor Kristi Noem to warn boaters to pull their plugs before and after they've had their crafts in South Dakota waters to prevent further contamination. Tony Life is the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Wildlife Division Director, and he's here to explain why invasive species like this can cause such a problem and how we can prevent this from getting worse. Tony Life, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me this morning, Lori. Good morning.
All right. The situation is getting a little worse, not better. What's the latest discovery and how do you make that discovery?
Well, it's just a couple weeks ago that some staff from the Corps of Engineers were doing inspections on the dam at Big Bend Dam there next to Fort Thompson and discovered some of these zebra mussels, not very many of them, but enough to show us that there is a reproducing population in Lake Sharp.
How bad is the problem statewide? How widespread is it?
So currently we have about six or seven waters in South Dakota that have zebra mussels. They're in Lewis and Clark Lake, Lake Yankton, which is almost a part of Lewis and Clark there, McCook Lake, which again has water exchange between the Missouri River and it, and then, of course, the Missouri River below the dam there. So this is, up until just a few weeks ago, the only places that we had those in South Dakota. So when with the discovery of finding zebra mussels now in Lake Sharp, the larval of those zebra mussels are called villagers, and they're like little microscopic size organisms that just float in the water column. So it's obviously floated through the dam and on to the next reservoir down, which is Francis Case. So that's the extent of where we know we have zebra mussels in the state. We've been looking elsewhere, haven't found them, but I can't say with complete certainty that those are the only places, because they could be out there in other places and we just haven't discovered them yet, Lori.
All right. They start out pretty tiny, but then what happens as they expand, as they grow and reproduce?
They're very vigilant in their reproductive. In fact, we've seen the extent of the zebra mussels in Lewis and Clark grow exponentially in the last few years. Once they get to their settling stage, these little villagers latch onto anything hard, and then they grow into these mussels, these small invertebrates that have a hard shell. I mean, typical is what you would think of a mussel, and they just clamp on, and actually they'll clamp onto each other and just pile up onto any hard surface that they can find within these waters.
All right, so let's talk about hard surfaces then. This can cause some damage to infrastructure. Tell us a little bit about what some of the risks are by having zebra mussels.
Well, zebra mussels are going to cause economic problems in lots of areas because of this buildup, that they need to be removed. They're going to be on boats, and they need to be removed from those internal engine systems so they don't overheat. They're going to have to be removed from the dams themselves so that the water can flow through and electricity can be generated still there. You know, when they grab onto other hard surfaces like rocks and docks and logs or whatever else might be out there, I mean, the impact isn't near as what it is on some of those infrastructures that are put in place, but there's certainly an inconvenience and cause problems for water users that enjoy those waters.
So what's the process for removing from a dam or from some place where they really must be removed?
So those have to be physically removed. I mean, the only way that you can get them off of there is to pull those out of the water, do some cleanup on those pipes and gauges and racks. They're special kinds of racks that go into those to keep particle or other parts from going down through there. They have to be pretty much pulled out and scraped off of there before they can be replaced.
Tell us a little bit about the emergency rules from the Game Fish and Parks. What's changed as far as how we're addressing this in a statewide effort?
Sure. So let's start out with the reasoning behind having these regulations in place, Lori, which I think is first and foremost importance. The only way these mussels move from one water body to another is with the assistance of people. These villagers can be transported in water and be kept alive. And in fact, that's how the mussels originally came to North America. They're not native to our country. They came from Europe, and they came in the ballast of barges that came across the Atlantic Ocean and into the Great Lakes. That was in 1986 when they were first detected there, and they've spread from there. So it's important that we don't move water from one water body to another. And we have a generalized rule in place for all water bodies where those plugs have to be pulled. You mentioned that in the introduction here. That is the most important thing that we all can be doing to limit the spread of these mussels from one water body to another. And that doesn't matter which water body we're talking about. If a boat is going down the road, that plug needs to be out of there to ensure that there's no water being transported. So to get on the emergency rule, we have additional rules in place that require decontamination of certain boats that can retain water. There are these wakeboard boats that have a special bladders in them or tubes that you can fill up with water that cannot be completely drained when they're pulled out of a water body and moved on to the next water body or taken home. So that's where these containment waters, where we know we have those mussels, there are decontamination requirements on those waters, and that is the expansion of the rule that the commission took this last week to include Lake Sharp and Lake Francis Case in those waters where that decontamination needs to occur.
All right, the emergency rules are temporary. When are we looking at making those rules permanent or discussing what future regulation might be to minimize the damage in the future?
So that will be brought to the Game Fish and Parks Commission in early September when they meet out in Spearfish. So this will initiate the standard rulemaking process to where those rules that were passed as an emergency would then get a formal hearing, a formal consideration, and if deemed the right direction again, the right decision would be adopted at the October meeting and then moved into permanent rule status after they're filed with the Secretary of State. But it'll start in September, Lori.
All right, so you mentioned really the only way for these contaminants to move from zebra mussels, and you can't see them when they're microscopic, right? So you're not going to see them on your boat. That's why you have to drain the water. The only way that they can go from a body of water to body of water is pretty much in some kind of man-made transportation at all. I'm thinking with the Missouri River and how water, you know, moves in bodies of water connected to each other with flooding or what is there a broader conversation there? Is it really just those boats? Does that fix it?
Well, certainly, Lori. I mean, they're going to flow with water. So, again, we've detected them in Lake Sharp, and the Lake Sharp water flows through the dam into Lake Francis Case. So, yes, they will flow from a connected water body to another connected water body. But for them to move, for example, from Lake Sharp to Lake Oahe, it's going to have to be some form of artificial transportation or artificial movement. And that can be in many different forms. You know, it could be in recreational boats. It could be in bait, you know, a bait bucket that is filled in one water body and moved to another one. But there's other means by which water gets moved from or gets taken out of a water body and moved to another one. For example, construction projects. Those are things that we are visiting with the other agencies within state government to ensure that we contain as much water as possible within each of these water bodies if they're contaminated with zebra mussels.
Governor Kristi Noem coming out and saying, you know, sort of putting her voice behind this and telling people about what's going on. How important is that for the issues to sort of raise awareness, to have someone like the governor, you know, reach out publicly?
Well, it's very important, Lori. In fact, we're very thankful of the governor's commitment to this issue. We're very thankful that the other agencies that we're going to be sitting down with this afternoon to talk some more about this, because the impacts go far beyond boaters and fishermen. The impacts really go upon lake association, lakeside homeowners, the irrigation systems, municipal water supply. I mean, the impact is much, much broader than just the hunters and anglers that we primarily deal with here in Game Fish and Parks. So, yeah, having that broader interest and broader call to action is critical for us to be successful in slowing the spread of these zebra mussels to other water bodies in our state.
Are you confident about our ability to keep them out of Lake Oahe? Do you think they're already there and we just haven't discovered them yet? What are your hopes and fears?
You know, it's possible. I asked one of our experts that we were in a meeting with yesterday if he thought they were there, and he doesn't. But that doesn't mean they're not. Keep in mind, Lori, I mean, again, our goal is to slow the spread because once you get these into a lake, there's no way to get rid of them. And we, you know, for us to eliminate the possibility of them moving anywhere else, we would have to totally eliminate the movement of water out of these water bodies that are contaminated. And it's realistic to get a high level of compliance. I don't know if it's ever realistic to say we are going to lock them down in one spot and never get them, allow them to move elsewhere. That's why our goal is to slow the spread, to slow it down as much as possible. The steps that we took 4 years ago to put those additional regulations in place on Lewis and Clark probably kept it from getting to Lake Sharp sooner than what it did. I mean, it did get here finally, but ultimately, again, our goal is to slow the spread of these villagers from, and ultimately zebra mussels from one water body to another.
All right. Practice that good boat hygiene. Tony Life is the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Wildlife Division Director. Thanks so much for coming back, Tony. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for your time, Lori. Have a great day.
You too.